session. And the first bill we'll hear this morning is House Bill 2280. We have one witness, Nancy Miller, in favor. No other witnesses. Please come forward. And just a couple of opening remarks for me while you're getting settled. We are getting our staff reports from our staff ahead of the meetings, and they're going out both, I think, by email and probably by hand delivery. I had them on my desk this morning, so we encourage others that have testimony or exhibits to get them to us individually before we start the session, if it's possible. I'm not saying that that's a staff function. I'm saying that's your function to get materials to us as early as we can, because I think then that your materials will be more persuasive to us. Very, very hard to assimilate a lot of information when it comes in as I convene the meeting. So that's just some suggestions. I'd like to thank the staff for getting our stuff, their staff reports to us ahead of time. It's been very helpful to me, and I'm sure to the committee. All right, your name and occupation, please, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Nancy Miller. I'm the Deputy State Court Administrator for Program Operations in the Judicial Department, here today to testify on House Bill 2280. Luckily, Mr. Chair, this is hopefully a very simple bill, and you won't have to assimilate a great deal of information. It is a housekeeping bill to clear up a vestige of the transfer of the Indigent Defense Services Division out of the Judicial Department to the Public Defense Services Commission. The Judicial Department administers the Application and Contribution Program. In brief, that is a program by which people who apply for court-appointed counsel are charged an application fee if they can afford it and assessed a contribution fee if they qualify. This bill simply clarifies the accounting systems for that program. What happens now is that the courts collect the money. Pursuant to statute, that money is transferred to the Public Defense Services Commission, and then the Public Defense Services Commission pays the courts back for the expenses that we incur. Most of the application and contribution money is used to fund indigent defense verifiers in the circuit courts. So when indigent defense was part of the Judicial Department, that money came into the Judicial Department and we paid for those positions. When they moved out, now the money comes into the Judicial Department, we give it to Public Defense Services, and they give it back to us. So all this bill does is keep the money in the Judicial Department. There are some very small costs that are incurred by Public Defense Services. We will then reimburse them for their costs. And it is simply a housekeeping bill to streamline the accounting. It does not change who's eligible for counsel, how they're eligible, how the money is spent. None of that changes. It's simply a streamlined accounting procedure. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Fine. Thank you. Questions for the committee? Hearing no questions, then we'll excuse you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Anyone else wishing to participate in the public hearing for House Bill 2280? Seeing none, then the public hearing is closed and the work session is open. Discussion from the committee or a motion, please.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2280 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores moves that House Bill 2280 be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion from the committee? Hearing none, then the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Chair Ackerman?
Aye.
House Bill 2280 passes this committee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and Representative Flores may be the carrier. Open the public hearing on House Bill 2281. Welcome back. Please state your name and occupation for the record.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brad Swank, Special Counsel for Government Relations for the Oregon Judicial Department. I'm here this morning to talk about House Bill 2281, which is a bill that was introduced at the request of the Oregon Judicial Department. As with the last time I was in front of one of your committees. I'm not sure if it was this one or the other subcommittee. This is a bill that makes minor changes to the court-related processes in the statutes to hopefully make them better. It doesn't not plan on saving a lot of money, just making things more convenient and easier to use. Some people call it a housekeeping bill. I tend to call them cleanup bills because they do make minor changes. This one makes three changes, and I'll take it through you if you've got a take you through it if you've got a copy of the bill. First of all, in Section 1, it amends Statute ORS 21.020. In the language that's being removed, you'll see that we charge 25 cents a page. In the state administrative offices and in the appellate courts, we charge 25 cents a page or $1 for affixing a seal. Well, that's a little complicated because not everything we do is in pages. Some things we now do are in CDs or in tapes. Some pages are no longer 8.5 by 11. People copy pieces of exhibits that are actually quite large. So what we've done is we've asked for a change in statute. We've kept the dollar fee for affixing a seal. We've kept 25 cents a page or the actual cost of producing a copy for paper copies, but for the other kinds of copies we make, the copies of tapes and things, we ask for the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court to be able to establish by order the cost of the services provided. And this is something that parallels language that the Chief Justice has for circuit courts for providing services that aren't specifically set by statute. And all of this, of course, is limited in our budget as another fees expenditure when it comes in, and it just covers the cost of public monies that we expend to provide copies of things. So it's a procedure that's in place for the circuit courts. We're mirroring that procedure for the appellate courts, records office, and for the state court administrative offices. The second thing this bill does, if you go to page 2, in lines 28 and 29, you'll see that the language used to say, where a party or witness is dissatisfied with the interpreter selected by the court, the hearing officer or designee of the hearing officer, the party or witness, may use any certified interpreter. That language has led to some interesting circumstances. As you all know, an attorney will take any advantage that they can in various hearings. What we're trying to do in this section particularly is to change the language to put the court more in charge of the use of interpreters. There's been some game playing that goes on both in courts and administrative proceedings in the use of certified interpreters, where people will bring their own interpreters that they prefer and try and play games with which interpreter is going to be there. We want the court to have more control over that, or the administrative hearings officer to limit the game playing, because we are, after all, dealing with certified interpreters, and we want and we believe that the court should have that control. And the rest of this section sort of modifies the statute to be consistent with that change. There is language on line 40, a judge or hearing officer, on the judge's or hearing officer's own motion, may substitute a different interpreter for the interpreter initially appointed in the proceeding, and they may make the substitution under this section at any time and for any reason. So it puts the court or hearings officer in charge of the interpreter that's there. Finally, there are a couple of changes that we make in relation to the selection of jurors. If you go to page 3 of the bill, lines 31 through 34, you'll see that we're taking out the language that says the presiding judge of the judicial district shall prescribe a selection system or device, which may include any electronic, for the purposes of picking jurors, master and term jurists, essentially. What really happens nowadays is that they all select the system that we have centrally. We use lists from the voter, from the Secretary of State's office, and from DMV, and they don't send them to all the judicial districts where they put up their own lists. They send them to our central Information Technologies Division, where the Information Technologies people sort lists for all the different judicial districts and send them their master and term jury lists because it's cheaper and easier and more. So if we actually had all the judicial districts selecting their own different system, it would be a problem. So we're taking that language out to reflect what has evolved over time. And on page 4, you will also see in lines 30 through 34, we're making an adjustment so the state court administrator can make adjustments to the master jury list and may authorize the presiding judge of a judicial district to make adjustments to a term jury list for the purpose of updating the list. And we're doing this because we get our lists from DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, and from the Secretary of State once a year to provide to the courts. But as they use those over the year and send them out, they discover that sometimes the list that we got from the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Secretary of State's office may have a wrong address, may have something else that's wrong. We want the authority to update them so we can keep them current over the year. And these are all minor changes. We did ask for an emergency clause on this because it would help. And they're minor administrative changes that will always make things a little more efficient. I can answer questions if you've got them. I don't think it's a particularly complicated bill, but I could be wrong. I have been before. If you've got questions, I'll see what I can do.
We'll see what happens. Questions from the committee, Mr. Swank.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative McPherson.
With that invitation, I just couldn't let the opportunity go by. I'm just curious, what category a person is permanently excused from jury service?
I don't remember off the top. There aren't many. And I don't remember off the top of my head. I know, I believe it's in Chapter 10, I think, is the one that takes care of jurors. That was something that was rewritten a few years ago. I know that people over a certain age can get excused for a request, there aren't many that are permanently excused. It used to be that lawyers were excused, but that was taken out. I know judges are no longer excused automatically, but off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't think legislators are excused. I just got a summons to appear in circuit court for jury duty.
Chair Ackerman, I've always wanted to. The Chief Justice has actually served twice in the past 5 years, and he's been thrilled, and I've always wanted to serve myself. But in the past 6 years, I've been called three times, and I always get to the point where they say, Mr. Swank, where do you work? And I explain to them, and then the judge always says, a few minutes later after that, I'm sure it will come as no surprise to you, Mr. Swank, that you've been excused. So I haven't been able to serve. I've always wanted to.
Thank you, Mr. Swank. Any other questions of the witness? Any other persons wishing to participate in this public hearing on House Bill 2280? Seeing none, then the public hearing on House Bill 2281 is closed, and we'll move to a work session on that bill. Have a motion from someone, please.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Girard.
I would move House Bill 2281 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Girard moves House Bill 2281 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion from the committee? Hearing none, we'll call the roll, please.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Chair Ackerman?
Aye.
House Bill 2281 is therefore passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation with Representative Girard as the carrier. I'll close the work session on that bill and open the public hearing on House Bill 2279. And I've forgotten counsel again, so while our witnesses are being organized, could you explain the bill, please?
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, House Bill 2279 was filed at the request of the Judicial Department. It makes two corrections to a recently passed guardianship bill. Previous guardianship bill does not contain a provision that would allow the court to review guardianships, so this bill gives the court that authority. The second change relaxes a 45-day time limit that the Citizen Review Board has to review guardianship cases. In some counties, the Citizen Review Board doesn't meet except for every other month or maybe quarterly, so it allows them to review cases at that time instead of within the 45-day time limit.
Thank you, counsel. And we have, again, one witness in favor. No opposition. Please state your name and occupation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Again, for the record, Nancy Miller, Deputy State Court Administrator with the Oregon Judicial Department. Basically, what Mr. Sears said, this is a housekeeping bill from an Oregon Law Commission bill that was passed last session. The part about court being able to schedule a guardianship review on its own motion was an omission from the bill, and the scheduling problem for the Citizen Review Board was exactly as Mr. Sears described. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Fine. Any questions of the witness? Hearing none, the witness is excused. Anyone else wishing to participate in the public hearing on House Bill 2279? Hearing none, then the public hearing is closed. The work session is open on this bill. May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2279 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores moves that House Bill 2279 be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion from the committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Berard?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Chair Ackerman?
Aye. House Bill 2279 is thereby passed to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and the work session on that bill is concluded. Representative Wirth, would you carry this bill, please? Thank you. Then I'll open a work session on House Bill 2289, and when this bill came before us before, I suggested a couple of technical amendments to broaden the scope of the supplemental affidavit that could be filed in a small state proceeding. You should have, do we have the dash one amendments in your file? Does everyone have the dash one amendments? That's what I'm speaking to. Assuming that you do, and while you're looking for those, you don't have the dash one amendments.
I don't have my files down in my office on that one.
Do you want to lay it on the table? Well, I can summarize the amendments, and I will then make a motion to incorporate them within the bill. The supplemental affidavit was designed in the original bill to correct the original affidavit in a small state proceeding. I felt that correcting was too narrow, and that they really meant to amend that the supplemental affidavit would amend the original affidavit in the court file, and that's basically what this amendment does, is broaden the scope of the supplemental affidavit. I thought corrections was too narrow, because really we're talking about amendments. Sometimes when the estate is open, you don't know who all the heirs are, you don't know who the creditors are. In order to complete the probate process, and it would require an amended rather than a correcting affidavit to be filed. That's the sense of the dash one amendment, and the chair will then move that the dash one amendments to House Bill 2289 be incorporated within the main bill. Is there any discussion on that?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you have the specific points where I might hand-scriven the corrections on my bill?
You do or don't?
Do you? Could you give them to me for reference?
Yes, I can. After the meeting, or do you want them right now?
Oh, after the meeting would be fine.
Okay. Do you want to look at this amendment?
Please.
We're basically inserting amendments, the word amendments, and the word amending for the word corrections and the word correcting to characterize the scope of the supplemental affidavit.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Darris spoke against the bill until it was amended. Is he okay with the amended changes?
I have heard nothing from anyone.
Is he here today?
Anybody here on this matter? Mr. Darris submitted a written testimony, as I recall. He did not appear in person.
Oh, okay.
Counsel?
If I could speak to that. For Mr. Darris, I believe his concerns were that the original language was actually too broad.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, this language is that's changed the bill is actually broader. Amending is broader than correcting. So I'm assuming his opposition would still stand.
Okay. Further discussion from the committee. Representative Flores, you want some time to Hannah Gross here? Bill?
No, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? This is on the motion to incorporate the dash one amendments into the main bill. Do we need a roll call vote on that? Counselor?
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
A question. Did we make a motion to incorporate the budget?
I moved it.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Mayor Ackerman?
Aye. The Ashcourt amendments to House Bill 2289 are incorporated within the bill. We'll now move to the main motion. I'll move that House Bill 2289 as amended be forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2289 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Wirth?
Aye.
Chair Ackerman?
Aye. House Bill 2289 as amended will be forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. And the work session on that bill is now closed. I will be the carrier. Further business to come before the committee this morning? Seeing none, we are adjourned.